everyone, and welcome back to Social Flux. You're here with me, Paige Tomlinson, and today joining me is Phil Noon, the co-founder of the Liverpool Audio Network. How are we doing?
I'm good, yeah, thanks.
You? Good, thanks. So just starting off, for everyone who like doesn't know you, just a little bit of background just about yourself and like how you got into actually running the Liverpool Audio Network.
So I mean, music-wise, I've always been obsessed, mainly because my mum and dad. My dad's like a big rockhead and Motown, Northern Soul kind of guy. My mum's weirdly into trance and always has been.
A sick woman.
You get like a Mercury Sound CD for Mother's Day and stuff like that. It's weird, but it works. She used to go like Cream most of the time back in the day, Nation. And then I started going there when I was, when I was 18. I just got obsessed with it. Just the crowd, the unity, just the social aspects of dance music. It just took me away. And obviously the music itself. And then I was working in bars and stuff. I've been a chef for my whole working life, really, up until a few years ago. And when I was working in a bar, they had a DJ on. He's there with Mark Threes, I think it was. Because he's going back some time now. And just the lights on these things alone were just like, what are they? And then he was showing how we obviously mix music, how we can manipulate music through it. And it just blew me away. And I just got hooked onto it. And I just tried to save the decks as much as I could. And it didn't really work, so I ended up getting on finance. And I got, it was when the Mark 2000s came out, which was like 2012 kind of time. I got them on finance and they were like nearly $4,500 or something like that. Mum thought I was an idiot, going mad.
My mum and dad were like the same. When I like first got my decks, they were like, what are you doing, buying them?
Yeah, you just don't understand. Yeah. I mean, look who's laughing now. So I just got them. I just locked myself in my bedroom. I just learnt them, in and out. I got my mates around who was DJs. I'm from Ormskirk, and there's a few DJs from Ormskirk. So it was quite a nice little tight circuit of underground music going on. Not obviously at an events level, because it's Ormskirk. But, in the bedroom stuff, we were all making moves and stuff. So, we kind of just got this little collective going of a few lads learning how to DJ. And I went from there, and I did that for a long time, and ended up playing a few bars, restaurants, ended up playing Ibiza for a little bit as well. That was amazing out there.
So did you go over there for like a season, was it? Or?
No, weirdly, it was just 4 days. It was a mixed mag DJ comp. When you win that, you get to play in the Jets, and you get VIP to like four. I went to like Space and Amnesia, Ushuaia, all paid for, all free.
It was amazing.
So, I mean, we took that opportunity for a lot of my mates to come out with me, so we just made a lads holiday out of it, basically. But I had obviously the best time. Just doing that, and it was just kind of getting a bit, weren't really getting anywhere with it. I kind of didn't know how or why, I didn't even know where to start in terms of, I'm good at DJing, I'm good at finding music, but what else, where does this go? Started producing as well. And again, that was the same kind of concept of what do I do? So we ended up going to SAE, uni in Liverpool, SAE Institute. It's basically a private institution for creative media. So they do film, animation, and they do audio production, music business, that kind of thing. I didn't go there to get the piece of paper at the end of it. I went there to immerse myself in Liverpool's industry. I mean, Liverpool for me is the best city in the world.
I agree with that.
It's just something about it. I speak to a lot of people from outside of Liverpool that still have this stigma of, they're all feeling scousers and it's just a shithole and all this kind of thing. And it's like, nah, mate, if you went there and just tapped into that city, you'd see how unreal it is.
It is the best place in the world.
Yeah, it's just, I love being the place, I really do. And that was what I wanted to do with that. That degree was just to teach me how to get into this, the scene more than anything. I still found I struggled with it, though, even though I was learning how to make music and learning how to get it out there. I weren't learning, I basically came to the realisation that you need a network, you need people, And I couldn't find that in Liverpool. It was like clicky, if you didn't know someone, you weren't in. So it's like, it's a catch 22 of, you don't know anyone, but so you can't get in. It was a mess. So I kind of went from that to, I need to break down these barriers. I need to get everyone in the same room and go
bring everyone together.
We're all like-minded. And me brother had a friend called Dan Fisher. He was like, he's banging on about the same thing. Do you know what I mean? So we met together. I mean, my business partner Kieran as well was there, but he was just, he didn't really, he was just on the outskirts of it, kind of, and then he kind of got into it. He was like, yeah, wow, like, I need to be part of it. You know, you could see that he was working with us on the outside of it, moving himself forward into it, which is now, he's now obviously, you know, a core part of it between myself, Becky, and Kian. But it came from that, just that idea of me and Dan kind of had, like,
so you
know,
just sort of wanted this, like, close-knit network in Liverpool. That was the aim of it, really.
Yeah, just to break down the barriers, yeah. And we, you know, it's like, because we knew when you get them in the same room, everyone's going to be sound with each other and get on with each other because you all make music, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, everyone's there for the same reason.
So we come up with the idea of doing, like, a masterclass. We did it with Paul Nolan, Mike Cave, and Romy Parro, who's he's music marketing.
Yeah,
and it was basically just put them all in the same room that they can have a, they could do like a seminar, masterclass on what they're doing, and the whole room kind of, you know, you could see people just networking and talking. It's like that network right there. You know what I mean? It's happening, yeah. And like you know, like obviously Cusp, Jack, and Luke.
Yeah.
They've known each other for years, worked together for years. But they kind of, they said like they were sat in that room and they were talking to each other, but start making music again. You know, together. And
sorry, so how long ago was this?
Was about coming up to 4 years, I think now.
You was like originally started and done your first like masterclass, wasn't it?
Yeah. And even then, it wasn't a business or a business idea or, you know, something we're going to take into the future. It was just, let's just see how it goes kind of thing. It originally started before I spoke to Dan. He was in the Philharmonic with a few artists and a few DJs, just having a pint to get them together. Do you know what I mean? But it obviously didn't have the same pull as a masterclass. So.
Yeah.
And it went from there, right up until kind of to now. We've just been doing like little masterclasses. We got an office with an event space in the Tempest on Tyburn Street.
Yeah.
And working out there for a few years. And we basically lived there between all three of us. And it went from, you know, doing little masterclasses, panels, because we felt like, you know, the music education isn't there. There's so many people making great music in the bedroom, but how do you get it out there? You know, how do you get signed? The same struggles we have. We are our audience, basically. So we need, what struggles do we have? And everyone else is having at the same time. So it's like, how do you get your music out there? So it's like, right, let's do a panel on approaching record labels, for example.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get A&Rs in, we'll get DJs or artists in that have done it. They've been obviously road tested these methods and done it themselves for years. To get them all to sit in the same room and actually, you know, go through like email etiquette and stuff like that how do you actually do it, or whether you go physically, you know what I mean? So say like a record label's presenting its own night, for example, go to that night, find someone there, get the A&Rs thingy and say you got introduced by that way, you know what I mean? And
that is honestly I think just what people need in the music industry, because I've spoken to so many people who are producing and stuff, and it always sounds the question of like, how do you actually approach a label?
Yeah.
You don't want to come across too informal, you don't want to be like too formal, you want to try and get your personality across, and it is like a huge one. So
And obviously it starts to work quite well. And it, you know, for us as well, it was we were getting taught as well, so you know, we were still making music then, so it was like oh, I'm gonna start doing that, do you know what I mean? So we're teaching ourselves by doing these events anyway, so that was good. But then we just start to realise how important that network is. Like, networks, just it's currency, it's power. You know what I mean? It's everything in the industry, and the more people you know, the more people you support, and they support you, the better your better your chances are of getting anywhere. Yeah. Like, it's just easier to navigate that way.
It is definitely who you know and what you know, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, and that isn't a bad thing at all. It's, you know, the more you know, the better.
Yeah,
You know, that's how I see it anyway. And it comes down to collaboration over competition. You know, so if two people are running a night, pretty similar kind of vibes, and it's on the same night, rather than trying to outdo each other, sum it together, get a bigger venue.
Yeah, do it together, get a bigger headliner.
Because you sit in the same frequencies anyway, so you might as well put that together. And it comes down to that kind of thing, do you know what I mean? Kind of uniting the city a little bit more.
Yeah,
I don't know how much influence we've had on this, probably not a lot, but I've noticed it as I've got deeper into the scene, that it is more, you know, the unity is there.
Yeah, and I bet like all the masterclasses you're doing, everyone you're doing, you're getting like a bigger audience.
Yeah, that's definitely growing. And it depends on the artist and the popularity in the city. You know, there's still that kind of a small narrow-mindedness within the city of...
Yeah.
Kind of, if they don't know the artist, they don't really care about it, rather than trying to find out who that artist is.
Yeah.
That's, you know, just the way it is.
You know. So like you've said, you get artists in and you have different masterclasses. What are some of the masterclasses that you put on? Because on your social media, you talk a lot about like media and how to get yourself out in on Instagram, Facebook. Mm. Are they like some of the classes you're doing?
More we touched on that on the panel side of things. So we kind of use different sessions for different, depending on how it's going to be delivered. So if it's going to be like a panel on that, then social media and stuff like that. Yeah, well, you know, the the kind of aim behind that is I've kind of two objective kind of opinions on it. So you got, you know, some people saying it's amazing, some people saying it's bad, and we put that together.
Yeah.
And it's more that outcome of you're not telling people this is what should be done. You're telling them there's another way to think about it.
Yeah.
So a masterclass doesn't work on that sense of, you know, say if it's a debate or a topic within something like that, a panel's great for that because you've got four or five different inputs.
Yeah, I like it, yeah.
But the production masterclasses can range from anything from, you know, we've had guys like Kinnaman doing like FX application and, you know, balancing your kick and your bass and stuff like that. I've done ones on drum processing. We've had Black Loops doing like a track breakdown. Paul Nolan, he's done loads for us like in the past. Yeah. And, it, you know, every time it's a mind-blowing topic, no matter what it is.
Even when you think, you know, people still are like, wow.
Yeah, and it's like some of the sound design stuff you do, it's amazing. And we've worked with like guys like Ableton and Waves Audio, Native Instruments, stuff like that. So they'll get like, Ableton will come down with a certified trainer. And they'll obviously just go through like the new Ableton 10, for example, as it was then, now it's 11. But they'll go through all that, you know what I mean, breaking it all down there. So it depends. It depends what you're doing and how it's going to be delivered. But yeah, and again, a masterclass is just basically their screen behind you, and they can see the DAW. This is what I'm doing. You know, it could be a track breakdown. It could be anything.
To be fair, I actually don't know why I've never been to one. I have been following him for ages, and like I always see and think I'll definitely go to the next one. I'll definitely go to the next one. But what I definitely want to go to is you've got coming up the Electronic Sound Summit, haven't you? Yeah. So tell, where did that start and what's all that about?
So, I mean, it's more of it's a sum of our year's work, essentially. Obviously, this year I've done much in terms of masterclasses or events anyway. But it's a kind of, it's like a two or three day kind of amalgamation of what we do through the year. So we'll have a masterclass stage, a panel stage. We'll have like expo space for like, you know, hardware guys to come in. You know, so for example, you have like new CDJs there that we can get your hands on with them and work around them. We do like keynotes and seminars, so whether that's on like a particular topic, you know, we've done like in conversations, like touching on topics like, I mean, we cover absolutely everything, but we do it all in 3 days, you know what I mean, or 2 days. A bit, I mean, it's essentially like, you know, same kind of business model as IMS or ADE, Bright Music Conference, but.
We're just on like a smaller scale in Liverpool.
For now. We're obviously going to grow that into a bigger thing. But, you know, we're doing it differently in terms of some of the content that we see on these. You know, I'm sure that, you know, it means very well, but some of it it's just kind of glazed over bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I'm, you know, I've seen some of them where just like that. I didn't gain anything from that.
No.
You've been too, like, on the fence politically about what you're trying to say. And
you need to know
the
facts.
Exactly. You need to get into that reality of it, So, I mean, a lot of our... you know, we've done like in conversations, for example, on Confessions of a Ghost Producer and breaking that down, because that's still quite a taboo thing. But there is. I understand why some people, not like buying tracks off people, I don't agree with that personally. But I agree that if you're in the same room as them and you don't have the technical skills to be able to apply it, but you've got that feeling for music, do you know what I mean? And you're obviously there listening to it and, you know, I just don't like the way that works, but you don't know how to change it. Someone sits there and does it with you, do you know what I mean? Then that's, to me, you know, that works fair enough. And again, it's that argument of should or shouldn't you? So
Because some people would argue with that you're not doing it yourself, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
But I do agree with you. You sat with someone and you say, no, I want that changing.
Yeah, and you're making it with them.
I agree with you. Wouldn't reckon that would be ghost producing.
Yeah, so it's right. Yeah, we're touching on them topics. We're touching on... you know, like equality in the industry, and kind of how that's now shifting. You know, it's not just about all these all female lineups, or, you know, we do not agree with booking female artists because they're a female artist. You're getting booked because you're talented, and you're not a female DJ, you're a DJ. Do you know what I mean? There's no you know, male or female to this. And you know, it's touching on that and calling that out.
Because at the minute, that topic is like huge. Like I've spoken to like loads of female DJs over the past few months about it, because it's just something that's always in the media at the minute about booking female DJs. Like,
I know,
you don't just want to book us if you want to book us, you're booking us because you like what we play. Yeah, you're not just booking us because we're female. Like, I got asked to play this like gig, and I'm not going to say who it was, but I looked at who else was on the line. I was thinking, they didn't play anything like what I play. So the only reason you booked me is because I'm a female. Yeah. So,
and it's like, it just doesn't wash with me. It's evolving now. You know, I get that was the kind of thing when it all came out a few years back, but now it's evolving into something different where, you know, we are looking at that. And even like the inclusivity, where we get, you know, you get like inclusivity on dance floors. So you get the idea of, like, you know, gender fluid or LGBT queer nights, stuff like that. Like, they're great and they're amazing. Let's try and get something to it. It's all together.
Yeah, you know all mean? Together, now not forward. Just like labelling so, and doing different stuff.
So, like, myself,
things.
Like a white straight male, can now go to this, you know what I mean? Because it's inclusive to everybody and it becomes the norm then, do you know what I mean? Again, which it should be, because that's where dance music was found upon, this kind of stuff. Judgment free expression is where our entire roots come back from, you know what I mean? They come from there. So, we really, really pushed that side of that. You know, it's even down to drug testing in clubs. That's another one. We did ruffle feathers with it because public drug testing happens in Europe, but it doesn't happen here because some people say it promotes drug use in clubs. Well, end of the day, you know, if you're going to do it anyway, you might as well have a test that tells you if it's safe or not to do. Do you know what I mean?
So
we ruffle the feathers on that kind of side of it as well, you know. And again, it all comes back to that network. You know what I mean? This program's there for you to learn and inspire you, and whether it is a cultural, social kind of thing or it's a technical masterclass kind of within production or getting signed or whatever that may be, or doing it DIY and self-releasing what a publisher is and all this kind of stuff. It's about the networking, do you know what I mean? So you go to that, you go to the next room, it's a networking thing, you have a beer with someone, it's like, oh, what do you do? It's like, the amount of people we've met doing that is, you know, we would not be where we are now if it wasn't for that.
So is it like set out like all different rooms and you can just like walk between seminar and that one, a masterclass and that one?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So we're taking over the Baltic this year, 3rd and 4th of September. And then we've got venues like Kitchen Street's going to be home to the masterclasses, the panels.
Yeah.
District's going to be masterclasses. Brick Street's going to be kind of in conversations, and a little bit of expo as well. You know, a couple of coffee shops are getting involved as well to be kind of networking hubs. So you can actually go have a coffee, sit down once to one with someone you've kind of, you know, chatted with. And that could be a delegate or a speaker, you know. Some of the DJs are obviously going to have here that you're going to want to talk to them. So it's just that networking thing.
And that was exactly my next question. Like, what are you allowed to say, like, who you've got lined up?
It's a little bit close to the bone right now. I can probably obviously reveal some of the kind of panel topics we'll be touching on. But we're kind of, you know, and I imagine by the time this goes out, a few will be announced. But it's kind of the way it works, because you were talking about 60 to 70 artists or, you know, speakers within. So obviously they're like label owners, A&Rs, publishers, music lawyers, accountants, whatever, everybody. So, like, what I can say now will be a drop in the ocean. So what I'll say next week, do you know what I mean? Really want to give, like... five
when
artists
is it,
away.
When is it going to, like, fully come out then?
So we will have an announcement on the 2nd of June. So it's already out now by the time this goes, I assume. we'll have that for, you know, and then I'll kind of... that'll be about... I'd say about 20 people on that, not much. But then I reckon by the end of July, we'll have the full, you know, depending on how it goes. And that'll be everybody, all the masterclasses, all the panels, everything that's out there. You know, it's quite a lot of work, but it's at the same time, it's so much to...
How long has it took to, like, organise it all?
Realistically, it takes about 9 months to plan for 3 days, like I did last year, and we did it on the waterfront, live buildings, Cunard building and Man Islands. We used like the spaces in there, and there was that much going on, that much logistics going on, do you know what I mean? It's almost festival grade kind of planning, so there's so much going on. And that takes about 9 to 8 months, roughly. We've got 4 months to do this one, which, you know, because of everything, in light of everything, and trying to get it out there. And obviously the venues are booked because everyone's just gone bang when Big Boris's roadmap came out. Everyone just jumped on the
And everyone's getting booked
up. So it's been quite hard to book these venues, but we've got a date and it's like, right, well, we're just going to have to get our heads down and get it done, do you know what I mean? So, because that's what we do. So,
did COVID affect you in any way? Did you have any plans, like, over the past year then?
Not really. No, obviously, because we just decided that from Liverpool Audio Network, that now runs the Electronic Sound Summit, and that's pretty much all we do. And we'll do little ones through the year, little pockets, but our main focus is, you know, we get our biggest impact on the scene, both in Liverpool, Northwest, nationally, is the Sound Summit.
Yeah.
Because the amount of artists that are coming, sometimes are international as well. So it comes down to kind of, is everyone going to be free to do it? Do you know what I mean? So, so we didn't really know. It didn't really affect us apart from, like, we were the only music conference in the world that ran last year that I know of. Especially electronic music anyway, because obviously.
Because like AD and everything.
So, it's not really something to boast about because of why, you know, the reason why they went, which is sad. I'd rather them be there than they wasn't. But yeah, so that kind of, we were there and we had the momentum and everyone kind of looked at Liverpool that weekend and seeing, like, even people that couldn't make it were watching us. And we spoke to a few people over video chat over, you know, after that. And, they, you know, this was, COVID was on the horizon then. We didn't know what was going on. It was still in China at this point. And it was like, you know, yeah, this sounds amazing what you guys are doing. We'd love to help you out. You know, we kind of love to grow this with you and make a bigger brand. And then next thing, we just got hit with that. They all got decimated and obviously lost thousands and they lost their livelihoods and everything like that. And so now everyone's just too busy reclaiming what they've got. So we've lost a little bit in terms of the momentum.
But I bet it's all going to come back then.
That's it. We'll do it again.
Once it's going to be boss. So what you've set out to do from the very beginning, do you feel you've achieved it? Or do you feel you're still working towards
Yeah, I mean, the aim, I mean, it's... It sounds cheesy these days, but I still believe in it. Like, I'm trying to make Liverpool like the capital of dance music in the world. And I mean, it pretty much is already. Do you know what I mean? It's not like it's not a hard thing to do, is it? I mean, look at the talent that's coming from the cities. It's immeasurable. Yeah. So even right down from, you know, from the top flight to, and this has happened over, you know, decades. You know, even looking at Cream, like the power of Cream now. Do you know what I mean? And that come from that little warehouse in Liverpool and Bolstonham Square.
I know, and literally everybody knows from
Exactly. And even like into Creamfields. I mean, that's a world, it's a world-renowned festival. So, you know, we've got it here. Everything's here. It just needs, it's just a little bit, just needs to be pushed in the right direction.
Yeah, things just need tweaking. And I do agree with you. Yeah. People need to come together more and stop being so against each other.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I think the lockdown has taught us as well, like coming back from lockdown, like everybody is working more together and towards it and not being so against each other.
Yeah, it's been nice to see that kind of side. Yeah, I think as well, like, I mean, our industry's got a lot of dicks in it, like, let's be honest. It's, you know, and I think them kind of, like, I had to go away and survive like everyone else did during lockdown. You know, there's no support from the government for people like us, so... We just had to go and work elsewhere and try and survive, you know what I mean? So, and I think a few people that were in that and aren't passionate fully about it, it's kind of just there because you want to be there. They obviously just, they'll go and do other things now. They find realise there's other careers for them and stuff like that, where it's people like me and yourself, it was just, this is what we do, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's nothing else but music. So we are back, and I think we get a lot more people like that, so it's more concentrated in terms of passionate people within the industry.
Definitely. That's what I was going to say. Is this sort of like, is this your full-time job doing this? Or
pretty much, yeah. I mean, I DJ three nights a week in Manchester.
Sick.
Which is, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's not my, it's open format, so it's, you know, but it's still nice to deliver music and see people dancing and you're reading the crowd and everything, you know, and especially towards the end of the night, you start to push it a bit more and you can see people, you know, you know, it's still got the kind of energy of a DJ, which I love. So I love to do that. And then 4 days a week, I plan the event, basically.
So do you still produce as well? Or?
I haven't really got time these days. No, I like to.
Is very time consuming.
I mess around. I like to make drum loops, mate, more than anything. Like, I like to add. That's what I used to like kind of specialise in when I did make music, was that human, like adding that human feel to drums. You know what I mean? Just kind of program it and psychoacoustics and stuff like that, making it flow. And I still mess around with it, like, but it's never, I'll never make a track again, I don't think.
To be fair, I'm getting there. Like, I'll have a few hours and I'll be like, oh my God, I love this. And then the next hour, I'll be stuck on something. I'll be like, oh my God, no. Like some people just proper fall in love with it like that, and I'm still there, like trying to fight to love it. I'm like, please.
Well, I mean, it comes down to.
I'll have to get to one of your seminars.
I know, get yourself involved. it does blow your mind when you get in that room. Yeah. Like even to us, like watching it, like Christ, like that is unreal. How they've done that, and it's like, but it's what I normally find is, it's kind of just shave off all this kind of stigma of how scientific producing is. I mean, I know it is, but it's about feel at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? Like, Elliot Adamson's a great example of this. He did the masterclass for us last year, and he had 45 minutes, made a track in 45 minutes, didn't say a word, literally just looked at his screen and made a track. And you could see that raw kind of, you know what I mean? And he was just like, he was just soloing things, blah, 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 and he just kept things moving, and it just, the energy stayed with him. I think that's what helps him a lot. And I think obviously it'll probably, you know, help people like yourself that might find it a little bit daunting. I'm like, I don't know how to actually do this or like that. That you can just do it. Do you know what I mean? And bounce it out, and it'll sound shit, and it probably will.
I love watching his videos on Instagram, and he's just sat in his living room, jamming out.
Just like sets up wherever he can. But yeah, it just kind of takes that. You know, you can see it even in him, like creativity. It's just that it's raw creativity. It's not, you know, this high end studio, and you know, like the monitors are amazing, stuff like that. That comes after that. Do you know what I mean? That's why obviously, when you're looking at your mix down, stuff like that. And obviously, you know, don't get me wrong, like, you know, like it is art. So the quality is demanded, you know. And I stringently listen to music, and I critically listen to it. Like, it's got to be right. Do you know what I mean? You can't just be washed to the side. But in that creative process of getting something down, getting that energy and that feel, you know what I mean?
Just go with it.
And if you can't mix it down because it's just elements are just terrible, then just fucking go again. Do you know what I mean? Make 100 tracks and one of them would be decent.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to look at it.
You mentioned Elias Adamson has been one of your guests.
Yeah.
Who has, because I'm sure you've had loads of guests, who's been probably the most memorable few guests that you've had on?
Wow.
You've watched and has like really made an impact and you thought, wow, they are incredible.
There's been quite a few, actually. I think going back to Paul Nolan, I think, again, like every time he's done one, it just blows your mind. And the quality of the sound. It's normally something around sound design or...
Yeah.
I mean, the first one he did was Ableton 10 walkthrough when it first came out. So obviously that was mind-blowing in itself. But it's just the level of production that's going on.
Yeah.
It's the way he calls things out, do you know what I mean? He won't just sit there and say, oh, like, try it, you know. So I'll just bang it together and just, you know what I mean? But it's also, it's like on a scientific level and a creative level at the same time. Like, fusion's just like, as a producer, he's unreal. So he blows my mind every time. But then... It's saying like Dam Swindle. They did an Ask Me Anything. So they basically just sat there with a laptop, and it was Paul that was the host for that actually. And it was just an Ask Me Anything from the crowd, but on a production level. So, you know, it's like, oh, how do you compress your drums, for example? Like, oh, I'll show you. So they're just there and then, but talking about it quite casually, not really doing a masterclass, explaining a few
and
processes.
And that's what you need sometimes.
Yeah,
like sometimes,
these little bits that people just don't know.
Like sometimes when you're producing, you'll have like a little question, you'll Google it on YouTube and you'll get like, YouTube sometimes goes around the world.
Yeah,
things,
it does, yeah,
it?
Yeah. And you're trying to get you to like and subscribe to all this kind of crazy shit. Like, but yeah, it's there. And it's quite hard to find. I mean, it's there, the research, you know, if you want it, you'll find it, do you know what I mean? But I do get what you mean. It's very, especially when you're in a process of creativity.
Yeah, when
you're
in a flow.
Yeah, you go down a YouTube rabbit hole, it's not going to work well, do you know what I mean? I mean, they're all, in their own right, they're all amazing.
Yeah,
I don't say that.
Amazing.
I don't say that just because, you know, they're all, you know, trying to be fair on everyone.
Yeah, I can imagine, to be fair, they all probably are, or you wouldn't have left them on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
But in 2021, have you got any other plans that you sort of got coming up?
Probably not, no, to be honest. In terms of Liverpool Audio, no. We're just putting our sole focus into the Electronic Sound Summit because, you know, we just believe it means something. You know, it's why we're doing it. We don't even get paid to go to work, do you know what I mean? That's why we've all got two jobs. This one and whatever else we do on the side. And we just do it because we know that this is going to mean something. So we think that the Electronic Sound Summit, if we, you know, once we pull this off and people see what it's about, even though it's our third year, it's arguably the most important because of everything, in light of everything that's happened.
Definitely.
To connect everyone back together. And it's to make this highlight of on the calendar for Liverpool that's where you need to be on that weekend. Do you know what I mean? You've got to be at the Sound Summit. Because it means more than us. It means about the city. It's about the wider community in the Northwest and the music scene there. So we're just putting our sole focus into that because we know, like, you know, we're best on ourselves and we're best on this summit that it's going to pull off, you know what I mean, for that reason. So it is our sole focus right now.
And it will do, I reckon, because even, like, every event, like, this year, like, tickets are coming out and they're just, like, selling out like that
because
people just want to be involved. They want to be out. They want to be doing things.
Yeah,
so,
definitely. They've realised how important... It is for you, you know, for mental health and physical as well, and just to be out there. I mean, that's one of the panels we're actually looking at this year, is, you know, like the value and recognition of dance music on a government's level, do you know what I mean? So like a representing body within government for dance music, because the economy in it alone is worth, you know, I don't know the exact figure.
Yeah.
I imagine it's millions, if not billions a year. Yeah. But then it's also the mental health aspect of it, you know what I mean, the connectivity of, you know, why it is so important culturally, socially and economically. It needs that representation in government. So we're looking at panels on that as well.
That would be
because,
such
you
a
know,
awesome
because
one.
Of how much it means.
So obviously you've started your own brands, Liverpool Audio Network, and you've built that up from the beginning. And how many followers have you got now? You've got quite a lot. Is it like it's like 5,000, is it?
It's close to that,
4,910.
There we go.
It's nearly 4,000.
Nearly 5,000. Yeah. Then what would be any tips for people who are starting, who would want to start like a network like yours? How would you like obviously builds your brand up basically.
Authenticity, really, and having a strong, authentic message. I mean, like, as you know, as I've said, like, what our message is and why we do it and what it means for the city. Like, we're not doing it for us. So if you're doing something like this or you want to build, like, some kind of, you know, something that kind of gels people together within a scene, then do it for them. Do you know what I mean? Do it for the wider scene and make sure that message is said. Do you know what I mean? And you support that. It's not I'm doing this or I'm doing that or we're going to be the best. Or, you know what I mean? We're talking about the scene and everyone in it, and it's about everybody else. And it's that mission that it's a connectivity between everyone. And then everyone relates that to that then. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, well, they're doing this for us. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not supporting them because they're doing very well with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm supporting them because they're doing well for us.
We're trying to
lobby to make a better place for everybody. So I think that's what's got us this far anyway.
I know.
I think, yeah, that definitely helped people for...
Yeah, definitely. And I find your Instagram as well always looks like spot on and professional. So I feel like that really helps as well. Like if you were starting a brand,
it goes back. Yeah, just don't be releasing content that, you know, like, it doesn't look right. If it's not only put out there what it's worth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because you've got something to say, not just to... There's no point posting three times a day for nothing. Do you know what I mean? I mean, eventually it'll get to the point where we're posting three times a day because we've got to announce 70 speakers over 4 months, you know what I mean? And all the panels and everything else, all the details. So we're posting a lot, but it's because the information's there. Do you know what I mean? The information needs to be said.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not, now we're not doing that because we haven't got enough to do it. So I'm not going to put a picture of my coffee on because I'm working in the office.
You know what I mean?
I don't care. So, like, what's the point? So it's that balance of, you know, a bit of reality and a bit of information that's going out, but at the same time, just, you know, just put out qualities, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same as music, though, just deliver quality, you know, that's all. Yeah. And if you're doing that as well, you know, your socials will pick up anyway because, you know, people are actually seeing that what you're doing is actually, you know what I mean? It's got something to it, that, you know what I mean? It's not just like... just a shitty little drum loop on Ableton, like, you know, it's just like...
Yeah, it's got quality and it's something that you want to learn about.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, stories are good for that because it's a short fire, you know, you can do little things like that. But I just think, like, posts should be, not special, but just have a bit more to them, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are going to be seen throughout.
Yeah.
So, that's always...
Boss. And just, obviously, you've got your aims and you're still continuing to, like, work towards smashing them. But in the bigger picture, in, like, the next few years, say 5-10 years, where do you see it?
Well, obviously, I see the summit carrying on yearly. Myself, personally, I'd probably like to break into something like management or something, artist management. Working with a lot of managers, I've seen things that I can do better than them. And why are you taking 20% of that artist thing for what? Like, you don't even get back to people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just things like that. You're not actually benefiting that artist at all. Because, you know, when you look at it, sometimes with that, it's like, people think, oh, I'm making great music, I need a manager. Like, do you? Like, you go, why do you need a manager? Oh, I don't know, just help me out a bit. Like, and say, help you out doing what? Like, and you don't know. So you only need a manager to manage the things you know you need managing. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, they do help you navigate the industry, and the networks are bigger than yours, so they can obviously put you in the right position. But it's got to be that mutual kind of relationship of, like, I want you to do well, and, like, I want you to help me do well. Do you know what I mean? And just have that kind of, and know where you want to go in your career.
Yeah. And your manager's not just in it for themselves.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes
they
can be. Yeah. They should be there for you. Do you know what I mean? That whole 20% or 15%, whatever you want to take, it's just a byproduct if you help an artist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and having that relationship together is something that's key. And there's some amazing artists that I've spoke to, especially recently as well. They just do everything for their artists, and they're just amazing. It's like, that's the kind of level I want to be at. So,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of goes back to me trying to fix the problems in the industry because I don't know why I do it, but I do. or try anyway. And, you know, so management is probably something that I'll probably end up getting myself in soon, managing artists. And
hopefully
by then, obviously watching all these panels and masterclasses, I'll have a lot more knowledge than I do now as well.
Yeah, you know what? You'll be like full up here. You'll be like, I know everything.
And notebooks and everything getting published. So. I think that's my future aspirations is that.
I love that. Yeah. Like, I can't wait to see where that goes. That'd be boss. And just to end, because I end this little part with all my guests that I have on. So if you got any inspirational quotes that you live by that have helped you through your journey?
Oh, wow. I've got quite a few that I kind of live by. I think like kind of what I say, I wouldn't say it's a quote or anything, but it's kind of a mantra. Like I was a chef for 10 years and I was a KP for 2 years before that. And like, I've been through some hell in them kitchens. Like most chefs have, like the amount of stress and the amount of stuff you've got to do and the amount of stuff that goes wrong.
Yeah, no, I used to be a waitress and I used to walk in the kitchen to the screams. Yeah, I used to be like, I just want a chip.
Yeah, he's like fighting your hand off. So yeah, it's like, there's some days in there, like the power's going out or anything like that, or you know, something's going wrong, that food has to leave the kitchen to a high quality on time. Do you know what I mean? And that's bottom line. There's no other excuse. So, and if kind of that kind of helped me work into, and obviously the teamwork aspects of it as well. So like kitchen kind of mentality has helped me get to where I am. But it's more like, and I say this in light of, obviously I know there's a mental health kind of crisis right now as well. You do have to look after yourself at the same time. Like I do burn myself out quite a bit, to be fair. I just work myself into the ground. Because I'm a workaholic, it's just where I am.
Yeah.
I don't expect other people to be that way. But end of the day, if you've got something to produce and you've got something, you've got a deadline to hit, hit that deadline. Don't make an excuse that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get there's certain excuses and everyone's different. I'm trying to be politically correct on that. But
no, just go for
but
it.
But yeah, but end of the day, yeah. Like, yeah, if you've got a deadline, make it. I don't care. You have to stay up 48 hours to get it done. Yeah. Do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no excuse. And the pain and the glory, it's you know, they come hand in hand. So it's like the same, like now I was saying, we've got 4 months to plan this event, like to plan Sam Summit. Well, a little bit more when we started, about 5 months. Normally it takes about 8 or 9 months to do it.
Yeah.
We'll do it because we have to, you know what I mean? So that's kind of our thing. It's like, there's no excuse. Like, it's not, we can't do this. It's how can we do this? You know what I mean? It's a different way of looking at it. And it's just that mentality of move forward and just get it, just get it done. And then you can rest after it and you can figure stuff out after it and you can learn. And even if it fails, at least you tried, you know what I mean? And just that, yeah, it's that kind of, yeah, just keep your head down, keep moving forward, I think.
I love that. That's a awesome. Next one. What is a track that never gets old for you? Quite a tough one, though.
It is, yeah. Can I have two?
Yeah.
Cheryl Lynn, To Be Real.
Oh, tune.
Absolute banger. Tune. I can listen to that all day.
Yeah.
And another one's Woozy by Faithless. It's not really heard much of. It was actually, I found it on, you know, the beach with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah.
It's on that. And I was like, what is that? So I found it. And the full track is just unreal.
Go on, sing it for us then. Don't mess
with it. I don't do a good Maxi Jazz impression. But yeah, get yourself onto that. It's
yeah,
unreal.
No, listen to that.
I don't think it's even on Spotify. It's on YouTube. Like, but yeah, it's just a weird journey and so many different tempos and layers in there that are just like, it's mad. It really is.
Yeah, boss.
You wouldn't get away with
that.
Playing it out, like, but it's yeah. fun, no. Well, no. I don't know, certain places.
Maybe.
I definitely wouldn't. Not a restaurant.
Last one, picture this. You're in the middle of a dance floor. Amazing vibes. Mm. Whereabouts are you? What dance floor are you on?
Going to be somewhere that's shut down.
Yeah.
Nation,
was it?
Yeah, Baltimore Square for something like Cream. That's where I fell in love with it. Like a spirit, like. You know, I'd love to be on that dance floor again, just you know, all the weird pink and then the booth. And you got to see like the booth where it was just like, you can only see that, the DJ, and they were working that, and it was just something about that. And the crowd in there was just unreal.
I swear, hasn't that just opened up again as another bar?
It's a flat now.
Is it a flat?
You know, with them like ugly weird ball things are.
I'm sure there's like a bar that's just opened there, and it used to be where the old Cream was.
Oh, yeah, is it like the stock room or something like that, I think?
I don't know.
It's like
got an outside bit. I forgot what it's called, but I'm sure it went in and had like cream spray painted.
Oh, on the back wall?
Yeah, on the back wall, yeah.
Yeah, I might have to go in there. I know. But if it was a place that was open, it'd probably be Kitchen Street.
Kitchen Street all the way.
I mean, I've partied all around Europe and all around the country.
Yeah.
It's the Liverpool crowd mainly, but that place just feels so safe, you know what I mean? It feels like home when you're there. It's like there's no... I don't have to watch my back or anything. Like, you know, even though you don't, you know, you're acutely aware that there's danger in a crowd anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, even though it doesn't matter how much love. Yeah, but that place, I don't even think twice about it. So it's safe. And I used to live opposite in the Baltic as well, so.
Oh, what a sick place to live. I'd always love to live in the Baltic.
Yeah, it's amazing, yeah.
Boss, amazing though. But thanks so much for coming on today, Phil. I've loved that and I've loved learning all about it because, as I say, I've followed you for ages now and, like, I've never, I followed you and I've always been like, how did they get started? Like, I'd love to know, but, yeah, that's been boss. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And thanks so much to everyone who's watched today. Make sure you like, follow and subscribe.